Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com. For more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
D-Maze, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. We just heard from Tennessee Titans head coach Brian Callahan at his Monday news conference. A lot to get into. And one of the subjects that he addressed today was the right tackle position. I want to stress this. The performance of the right tackles, the collective right tackle performance for the Tennessee Titans, the bar is on the floor. I just want to start there. That's how rough it's been for those who have played that position this season. But Leroy Watson, relative to expectations, played a solid game, I would say, for the Titans last week, starting at right tackle against the Colts. He was inactive yesterday. He was scratched from the game. And Jalen Duncan, who is perhaps the worst of the three who have started at right tackle for the Tennessee Titans, including Nicholas Petit-Frere, he got the start yesterday. He lasted one series before suffering a hamstring injury, which, according to Brian Callahan, will probably keep him out of the lineup this week. But Brian Callahan addressed the right tackle position yesterday after the game as well. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say about that.
What goes into going from Duncan being inactive a week ago and then Leroy seeming doing okay and then Leroy going inactive and Duncan getting along?
Yeah, we just got a problem at right tackle. You know, we got to find someone that can step up and play for us. And right now, everyone's got their turn and none of it's been where we need it to be. And so we're just going to keep rolling through it. And there's only so many available tackles out there and only so many on our team. And, you know, just trying to find more consistency from that spot at this point.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday addressing the right tackle position. Derek, very worked up about this. Okay, let's give Brian Callahan his flowers in this respect. Admitting you have a problem is the first step toward correcting that problem. So it's good to hear the head coach of the football team finally acknowledge that the team has an issue at right tackle. I can't imagine anybody on the station throwing that in his face. We'll see, starting at 2 o'clock, but at least he acknowledged that there is an issue. But Derek, you said before the show that of all of the things that have been going on with the Titans, the right tackle position is the most damning indictment, I guess you could say, of the operation of the Tennessee Titans thus far this season.
Yeah. You remember Tom Cruise and what was the movie? I forgot.
Mission Impossible?
No, not Mission Impossible. Show Me the Money.
Oh, Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire. So you know Jerry. When Jerry got fired, Jerry was like, "You think I'm going to go off? Think I'm going to go crazy? Yeah. Who's coming with me?" He just wanted to know who was coming with him.
Yeah.
So I know y'all are expecting me to go off, to yell and scream, but I'm just going to ask, who's coming with me as I explain, you know, or try to explain what in the hell is going on at that facility?
Something tells me this is the calmest your voice is going
to
be for the next
few minutes.
Yeah,
this may be calmest my voice is going
to
be,
just prepare yourselves and your volume knobs accordingly.
I'm going to try to keep it at a somber sort of a voice. I try to keep my low voice, my 12 a.m. voice. I'm trying to keep that voice. Okay, Brian Callahan, I understand what you said, Adam. As the first thing is admitting that you have a problem. That's the first step. You knew you had a problem already. You admitted it. You had a problem. Why did you admit it? You didn't have to tell us. You kept on going with this right tackle carousel. So that tells me you know you got a problem. So you don't have to tell me. I know you know that I know that you got a problem. And that problem is that right tackle. Okay, so we all know in the city of Nashville and probably outside of the city of Nashville that the Titans have a right tackle issue. Jared has told you many times, do you want him to go back to the right tackle story? He can,
no.
And I'm sure he will when he gets on the air in a few hours. He'll
oh
go back
goodness.
To the right tackle.
Oh, my goodness.
But listen, he has every right to keep going back to the right tackle story because they ain't fixed the damn problem. They knew they had a problem and didn't fix it. No competition. But that's neither here nor there. So you say we're trying to find the right guys. It's a competition. And when I say you have a competition in the middle of the season, you ain't got nobody to fill that position. Nobody. So you just keep on going round and around and around and around. And everybody's looking at you like, fool, you stupid. Because you're doing the same thing over and over. That's what the perception is. I'm not saying that Coach Callahan is that. I'm just saying the perception is, dummy, you know you ain't got a right tackle. So stop going around and around. Just stick with one guy and let it roll. Okay. So Watson come in, Leroy Watson. We made fun of his name last week, and rightfully so because it's from a movie, you know. Coming to America, so we made fun of how we say it.
I don't know. Watson. I don't think he's related to Randy Watson.
Yeah, I don't think he's related to Randy Watson or anybody else named Watson on that movie. But
those of us of a certain age were referring to Leroy Jenkins.
Yes. So
World of Warcraft.
So Leroy Watson comes in, and we don't know what to expect from him. Other than hoping that it's better than what it has been. Leroy gets his tail in there. Leroy plays okay.
Had some penalties.
He had a few penalties, but did he give up a sack? No.
Because there were zero sacks allowed against
the
Bills. Albeit against a diminished
pass
rush.
Yeah, against a diminished pass rush. But the Bills' pass rush ain't like the 84 Bears or the 99 Titans or the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. It's still not that. So what you decided is, out of the blue, I know y'all probably knew it, but out of the blue, after Leroy then came in with his cowboy, had his cutoff shirt the day, you know, last week, and he's ready to play, he comes out there and in his mind, okay, I did a good job. I can do better, but I should get another crack at this. No, 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 no. Leroy, come here. Sit down for a while. Why, coach? Just because I want you to sit down. I want to give Jalen Duncan a try. Didn't you give Jalen Duncan a try before and it didn't work out? Yeah, I did. Why you going to him again? I don't know. Just want to do it. All right, go ahead and do it. Jalen Duncan gets hurt. Then you go back to PT, Nicholas Petit Frere.
We don't refer to him as PT
we don't
on this program.
Yeah, you can't. I don't want to refer to him as his full name anymore. I know his mama named him Nicholas, but I'm going to call him PT because that's what Chris gave him. Chris Sands gave him the name PT.
I refer to him as NPC instead of NPF, a non-playable character.
And that's what he is. So you chose to deactivate, and you haven't given it. And the only reason I'm bringing it up because I don't believe you gave a clear reason. That reason you gave yesterday was horse crap. It was. Because you knew, I'm not being honest. Like, you knew that you had problems. The guys that you're throwing in are guys that you already seen before. At least Watson was a guy we hadn't really seen. So you throw him out there, and surprisingly, he looks okay. So what does every sort of like football person thinks when they're watching? Oh, they're going to put Leroy back in there next week. He may get a little bit better next week. We ain't gonna even dress him. We gonna make him an inactive. And you know who we gonna make active? PT. Junkin goes down and you throw PT right back in there. And tell me, Callahan, how did it look? You don't even have to answer that because I could tell you. It looked like heart garbage. That's what it looked like. Not hot. Heart garbage. That's what it looked like. So, to me,
how do you spell that?
I don't know.
H-A-W-R-T. Yeah,
however you want to spell it. But you need to give a better reason for why you, because it wasn't because of injury, because he wasn't on the injury report. So, did he do something detrimental to the ball club? Did he miss meetings that you don't want to talk about? Well, you got to explain, because this one guy in Watson played better than the two guys that you chose to dress. That's what I don't get. That's why people are questioning whether this is a competent organization. That's why people are saying Rand Carthon shouldn't be the guy at the helm. That's why people are saying, well, Brian Callahan may be over his head in this one. Because of situations like that that are not explained thoroughly. And I don't think, listen, I wasn't there. I'm not a journalist. I know y'all job is hard. And we have some really good ones here. Okay? A bunch of them that I'm friends with. But why didn't nobody press him on that issue? Maybe y'all did. I don't know. But when I was listening, there was probably one, maybe two questions asked, not specifically about Watson, but just about the offensive line in general. Quit throwing in them damn softball questions, man. Ask the damn question. Why Watson wasn't starting? Give us a reason, because he wasn't on the injury report. What is the reason? I don't want to hear you tap dancing around it. Don't go around the house to get in the front door. Go straight through the front door and tell us why he wasn't playing. Because he did a better job than the two that had been there previously. This season. So explain to your ticket holders, explain to your loyal fans why you chose to start Duncan or have PT dress when you know PT is not ready. And Watson came, and Watson's last game, it may not have been perfect, but damn it, it looked better than the two guys that were playing before him. But then you just said, you know what, we're going to make him inactive without giving a real reason why. If he was late for me, okay. Then okay, I can live with that. If you say, hey, listen, there were some things that happened, late to meeting here and there, I'm cool with that, because my thing is you're already on thin ice. You need to be doing everything right. And if you chose to miss meetings or come in late for meetings, then you don't deserve that spot. But to just say, oh, I wanted to give another guy, I am tired, man. That answer is not suffice. It's really not. Oh, we wanted to give another guy another shot. You already gave those two guys shots. Stop it. That man did a okay job. Your offensive line for the first week in a long time, they didn't give up a sack. And then you said, nah, that's too good. Let me go back to Duncan. Let me go back to PT. Stop me, Willie, please, because okay. I can keep going.
I have questions.
I just have to say, David Janes.
Let's take a calm down.
David Janes, quick on the dump button there.
I'm sorry. I really am. Because I'm sorry. The only reason I bring it up because the organization, I love the organization. It gave me an opportunity. Regardless of how they feel about it, I still want that organization to win. Okay, and when things like that happen and there's no true explanation other than we wanted to give the other two guys an opportunity, they've already showed you what they can't do.
Here are my questions. I would like to see, I don't know if we went over the grades that Watson had last week against the Colts.
We did not.
But I'm sure it wasn't great. Well,
right. I think the other thing that I would ask is the Colts front a lot easier to block than the Bills front on the road? I think you're facing, fair to say, a much tougher front than you faced last week. I don't know how Petit Frere or Jalen Duncan would look. Duncan is still pretty young. He's 24. He's younger than a lot of college football offensive linemen right now. I think the overriding thing is it shows you how tough it is to find competent offensive tackles if you don't have one. This is becoming Andre Dillard on the other side 1 year later, right? And you're in a darned if you do, darned if you don't, right? Because you don't have an option right now. You have a guy off the street, that's Watson. You have two guys you've drafted that have gotten chances to play and not look good at all. So your choices going into each Sunday are not good choices. Now, we can have a long discussion of, you know, if you could wind the clock back to the end of last year, were there better options at the time you could really address it than what you have right now in the middle of the season, when I will just go on and speculate. I'm no expert and talent scout. You ain't going down to the grocery store and buying. I don't care how much money you got to spend. When you go to the left, to the right tackle store on the street and you have tryouts, you ain't getting anybody. It's not going to get any better. So you have to find out which of the three you have.
But Willie.
And this is your point, I know.
Yeah.
Watson we haven't seen. That looked like it was. I was really surprised when it wasn't Watson, because I was surprised when it was Watson the week before.
Exactly,
and then,
me too.
And then you're kind of like, okay, let's see if this is true. I heard the Bill Callahan. He's athletic. We like some things that he does. And then to short circuit it after 1 week, that's a fair question for sure.
Because they never gave a reason. Like, he wasn't on an injury report. They didn't say whether he missed a meeting or was late. And again, if he did miss a meeting or he was late for a meeting or a weight session, then y'all have every right to say, listen, he's on they know, we know how this you know, this right tackle situation is going, and nobody has room for error. So if you miss a meeting or if you're late for your weight session or something, like you're not doing something in the building and we're asking you, then you're going to have to pay for that because you're already on thin ice already. So if that happens, you have every right to bench him and not make him act. But if it didn't happen, well, I don't know if it happened or not, because you hadn't said anything. Right. Only thing you said was, well, we wanted to give the other two guys an opportunity. You gave them opportunities. You've given them more than one opportunity, more than two. And then you say you want to go back after a guy. He played okay. He didn't play horrible. But at least there was something there that you can look at and say, okay, let's give him another shot to see kind of where it's going with him.
Well, and would we not say this, too, about Nicholas Petit-Frere? It's been shockingly ineffective, because we saw him play and start almost every game as a rookie. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was this bad, right? Here are the questions I have for him specifically, because he was scouted out of college as a decent talent. Mm-hmm. He was a fairly high draft pick, and he survived his first year in the league. And we know what happened last year. All these injuries and stuff. I think the quote I heard from him during training camp after his first practice was, I have not had a helmet on for a practice since last October. So it's probably a combination of these two things. A, he's not sharp and fully recovered. He's not the same player he was before these injuries. And B, it has now become a mental confidence. He has none. Right when he is lined up against a good edge rusher, you can see it before it happens. They are targeting him. They're going to put an edge rusher out there. They know they can get to him. And so I don't know if – is it physically he just can't do it, or is it a physical and a confidence thing? Either way, they didn't plan on playing him yesterday. Duncan lasted, what, three plays before he's out of the game. And Duncan has never shown me anything from my eye that tells me he's got a chance, other than he's still very, very young. He's younger than any of the other guys. He's in his second year. He's only 24, just turned 24. So he's maybe not quite a lost cause, but this is the thing that Bill Callahan has to face, is it's one of the hardest positions in the league right now, offensive line in general, but specifically tackle, to find guys off the street who can just get a job done, right? There's some bad offensive lines out there. And the Titans are really spinning right now. Now, I do think, as Brian Callahan just pointed out, Dylan Raidens is a decent story right now. He has come from the depths. He's come from being the guy that's getting ripped all up and down the radio waves and everything to being a decent option at right guard. That's not a bad – that's a decent little story there. And I still think the jury's still out on the two guys on the left side, but I'm not willing to give up hope on those guys. Even though I don't think it was their best day either. I think they got exploited. I think they're much more susceptible, those two, on the road, if you take a look, than at home.
615-737-1025. Derek, take a deep breath, my friend.
There we go. I'm better. I just had to get off my chest.
Zen, my friend. Yes. 615.
There's still some smoke coming up out of the, the studio right now.
I'm surprised the smoke detector.
Does anybody have a D-smoker?
Somehow,
the window. Small room.
Yes.
D-smoker.
We could use a. We could.
It looks like a concert. You know, the concert, they have the dry ice and the
guy comes
like
down.
It
looks like Neyland last night on a Saturday night. It's all the smoke coming out.
What are your thoughts on all of this? 615-737-1025. We want to hear from you. And I also have some station news to share for those of you who attend Smashville Live. Don't miss this Wednesday night's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 p.m. see your Predators player favorite players up close and personal and get autographs and pictures. We have just learned from the man himself, Chase McCabe, that the guest this week on Smashville Live, hosted by Max Herz and Hal Gill, Mark Del Guizzo, and Zachary LaRue, who is expected to make his NHL debut tomorrow against the Boston Bruins. Mark Del Guizzo and Zachary LaRue will be the player guest at Smashville Live tomorrow at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, on your home for the Nashville Predators, 102.5 The Game. Attention builders, remodelers, and homeowners. Pella Windows and Doors invites you to their showroom grand opening this Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. at 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville. Discover premium windows and doors, enjoy food and drinks, and see how Pella can transform your home. Stillman & Company will be broadcasting live, and there will be also some raffle prizes given away, including Preds tickets, RTIC coolers, and more. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. I didn't know I needed a swear jar on this program, but I'm going to tax Derek Mason. I'm going to put that in the swear jar, 25 cents, young man.
I'm going to drop it in the bucket. I deserve that one.
That's okay. We appreciate the passion. Kenny, the mailman. Our friend Kenny is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenny, go ahead.
That's the reason I'm calling. It might not be changed, but I'm putting stamps in that jar for Derek. I'm covering for him.
All donations are gratefully received.
First and foremost, thank you so much for your passion, Derek. I equate you like Pete Rose. People might not like you or Pete Rose, but if every player played with your desire, passion, hustle, and love, the whole sport would be better. I hate seeing guys just stroll through life. You never did that, and I appreciated that.
Well, thank you.
An overall question about Will Levis. If you listen, the Titans, they'll admit this. They gave him a position, picked him, inserted him into a position he wasn't ready for with the hopes that he'd grow into it. And not only that, if you look, there's a C on his jersey that he's supposed to lead a bunch of guys that are just scratching and clawing, hoping for one more year, hoping to get that dream. And he'll grab a microphone and start saying, yeah, that guy needs to play better. That guy needs to play better. Me also. But I got a lot of confidence. How did he get a C on his jersey? And do players really respect players that are handed a job? Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Kenny.
Well, in regards to the C on his chest, that's, at least from my knowledge, that's typically voted upon. And if I'm correct, Willie, and I think Adam, you might have been with us when all this came down. When Callahan talked about the making captains or voting for captains, did he say some guys there were some ties, so some guys were able to.
There are six captains, like if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, but some guys one rotates every week.
Those are the guys typically that were had votes to be captains, and maybe have been tied, but they didn't sort of crack the top six.
The other question I have is, how many quarterbacks in the NFL, starting quarterbacks, are not captains?
See,
I would imagine most, if not all, starting quarterbacks are captains. I would have to go and look at every picture, but I have to imagine that most, if not all, starting quarterbacks are captains.
But if it is sort of, because it's customary that the team vote on captains because they're in the locker room with those guys basically 24/7, not the head coach, not the position coach. It's those guys within the locker room. So those guys are the guys that vote on captains. So I'm not going to sit here and say guys don't respect him because they voted for him. Guys voted on Will Levis to be the captain. So obviously they saw something in him. Or did they, like you said, Adam, by default, you're the captain because you're the quarterback. I'm going to believe that those guys, that's not something that they would do, like just to be doing. They would think hard about who's going to have that C on their jersey within a locker room.
It's a really good question. I think we're all asking the right questions, I don't know how the process works. I'm sure every team has their own choice of how they elect the team captains. Is it 53 guys? Is it while training camp's going on? I don't know. I'm guessing you wouldn't do that until after you cut your roster
usually
down.
Usually it's after training camp,
but you've got
rosters cut down.
You've probably got 10 or 12 votes of guys that are barely on the team and haven't been on the team. That's an interesting thing compared to, let's say, a hockey locker room where you have a lot less guys voting, and you probably have a higher percentage of the players that are there from last year. Mm-hmm. I think about how some colleges – there's also the practicality. Like, it's really all symbolic, right, of who the – other than coming out to the coin toss and you get to say it's heads or tails, what practical function – does the captain serve? Like in hockey, you have a practical function. The goalie cannot be the captain because you have to be able to go out and talk to the referee and skate across to the other side when the referees are on their side. You represent the team. You're the spokesman for the team. So that's part of what a captain does beyond the symbolic lead, the locker room, all of that stuff.
And the Titans did not have captain's patches during Mike Vrabel's time, if I'm not mistaken. This was like a new Brian Callahan reintroduced the patches. If I recall correctly.
I think the overall question of the leadership of this Titans team is a very fair question. I don't see obvious the serial winners kind of thing that you're leaning on. I don't see obvious leaders, whether you want to label them with the C on the jersey or not. Fair? Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Derek, you did bring this up to us over the weekend. Mm-hmm. To Willie's point, if we want to use the Predators as an example, when you talk about serial winners, as Barry Trotz calls them, you know who he's talking about. You know he's talking about Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly and Roman Josi and players, Jonathan Marchessault, players who have been there and done that. As you mentioned to us, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, who are those players that are taking that role and trying to lead the team?
I don't know. Does a head coach know?
That's a good question.
I'm not sure. Was there a question asked about, you know, the leaders and who are the leaders?
Because I think part of the answer to Kenny's question is how was Levis given any form of the captaincy? And there's not a lot of obvious guys.
He's only been a starter for a hot minute.
There's not a lot of obvious guys, unless you want to go with a guy like Pollard, who's a new guy on the team, just got there.
Yeah.
Like, he's a veteran. He's played a lot of games. Mm-hmm. He's a good, solid pro. But this is his first year on the team. So I don't know if there were obvious choices for – if you're just looking at offensive captains.
Yeah, that's a question that Brian Callahan needs to answer. Like, who are your leaders? I know who you have as captain. Okay, I get it. But who are your leaders? Who are the guys that you go to every day and say, because a captain, leader, however you want to phrase it, it's a guy that the head coach can go to and say, hey, what's the temperature of this locker room? Let me know what's going on. Or what can I do as a head coach to make sure, especially in this situation, to make sure the locker room, we're together and not divided. That's why a lot of teams, rather than having captains, they have a leadership group. Like, we meet once a week, and that's what we had in Baltimore. We met once a week. It was, I think, 6, 7, 8 of us where we met, and we talked about what was going on with the team, the locker room. Sometimes there was nothing. Sometimes there was a few things. But you had your leadership group. We knew who was those, whether it be, Ed Reed or Ray Lewis, we knew who the face of the organization was and the leader based upon that. But what other leaders do we have in here that can be a part of our leadership group? And that's the question. What leaders do you have in that locker room? I'm not saying that you don't have any, so don't try to, twist my words, people. I'm not saying the Titans don't have any leadership, but who are those guys?
So a very quick scan of Wikipedia, again, not a great source. If you're in college, don't source Wikipedia. Don't cite Wikipedia. That was a big no-no when I was in school. but Wikipedia's stories about current team captains. Very quick scroll. It appears that every team's starting quarterback at the beginning of the season was a team captain, except for teams that it's listed as appointed weekly, including the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, they're like every week because they have a leadership group. And then out of that leadership group, we appoint captains each because you want to reward guys that maybe doing their job the way they're supposed to, maybe leading by example and not necessarily verbally. And sometimes those guys get kind of pushed to the side because they're not the rah-rah guys. But those are the guys that the coaches identify each and every week. Like, okay, that guy, look at, I see how he's working. Or I see how she's working.
You think the Titans should adopt? I mean, it may be too late this season, but
that's what they should adopt.
That's what they should do.
Because they don't have, again, they don't have enough guys. It's easy to do it when you have Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry. It's easy to do it when you have guys like that. Who else? The big fella in the middle, Jarrell Casey. It's easy to do when you have a Casey and guys like that. You the leader, you the captain, because look at what you've done on the field and off the field.
Brian Arakpo, Derek Morgan.
Guys like that. Like, it's easy to name those captains. But when you have a team full of young guys or new guys, just do a leadership group. We don't need no captains. We'll do captain by committee each. Because damn it,
there are
really
hockey teams
it.
To do that.
Exactly. Because our team hasn't shown enough for me to sit here and label one guy as. Because what comes with that is a lot. Why do you think Mike Mularkey did what he did in regard? Was that Mike Mularkey or
it was Vrabel. Mularkey that stripped.
Yeah, that stripped
Taylor Lewan
of the captaincy. Because. No. Not to say Taylor wasn't a leader, but he wasn't ready to be a captain at that particular time. And he knew it, so he stripped it away from him. I don't know how Taylor took it, but I know how he played after. It was a lot better. And I'm sure he earned that bet. Sometimes you just can't give things to people. Allow them to earn it. And this team doesn't have enough veterans on this team for you to be handing out the C, because I don't think these guys have earned it other than D-Hop. Who else? Not even Simmons. D-Hop.
Sneed.
But you don't. Diggs. Mm-hmm. Guys that have performed. Guys that have been leaders on other teams.
Yeah.
Pollard. You can even say Pollard.
Yeah.
But you don't name Will Levis. You know, did you name him just because he's the quarterback? If you name him just because he's the quarterback, that's all completely wrong. It's completely wrong, which tells me you don't have enough of those guys that are deemed captains. So let's just have a leadership group. That's all. And we will, each and every week, we will rotate who's going to be the captain because this team is too young.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans, who lost 34-10. To the Buffalo Bills yesterday. Teron Davenport will join us at 1 o'clock. But before we get to TD, the Titans struggles perhaps have masked the struggles of another professional team in this town, the Nashville Predators, who are off to an 0-5-0 start. And Predators fans, if you're listening, I'm going to give you permission to do something. And I will tell you what next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. We will get back into the Titans in the next segment with Teron Davenport of ESPN. But I want to take a moment to discuss the Nashville Predators, who lost 5-2 with two empty netters against over the weekend against the Detroit Red Wings to fall to 0-5-0. To start the season, they are the worst team in the National Hockey League. They have 0 points, as I just said. They are the only team in the NHL who has not picked up a single standings point this season. So, Predators fans, before the break, I told you I was about to give you permission to do something. And you might think it's too early. Totally fine. But if you're sitting here watching this Predators team and you're worried about what's going on, I'm here to tell you, I give you permission to panic about this Nashville Predators team, and I'll tell you why. I did this research over the weekend, and I wanted to preface this by saying history, just because something happened once in history doesn't mean it's going to happen again. We know that both good and bad. Since the NHL entered its expansion era, which was in 1967, so since 1967, there have been 17 teams, excluding this year's Nashville Predators team, so 17 other teams that have opened a season with zero standing points through five games. Of those 17 teams, six have made the playoffs, and none since 1995-96. So history suggests that the Predators are in serious trouble. It can change. Again, I am not telling you that the Predators are not going to make the playoffs on October 21st. I'm not stupid enough to do that. I'm not going to tell you that they can't turn this thing around. But teams that have been in this position in NHL history since the expansion era in 1967, two-thirds of them have not made the playoffs. So, again, it is early. I am not telling you that the Predators are going to miss the playoffs today, but you have absolutely every right to panic about these Nashville Predators. 0-5-0, it's going to be an incredibly tough hill to climb for them to get back in the race. Let's just look at the Central Division for a moment. The Winnipeg Jets are 5-0. They have 10 points. The Dallas Stars are 5-1. They also have 10 points. The Utah Hockey Club is 4-1-1. They have 9 points. John Hines' Minnesota Wild team is 3-0-2. They have 8 points. By the way, the Minnesota Wild have not trailed in regulation for a single second through five games this season. Both of their losses were in overtime. So you have to hope that you play well and that these teams hit a rough patch at some point during the season. But I think it is past time for I think it's fairly reasonable to panic about these Nashville Predators.
Well, you got to do what you feel you need to do. Seriously.
Pull them back in, Willie.
I can't pull it back in. They're 0-5, mm-hmm. right? It was funny. I was we had a little get-together for Max Hirst mm-hmm. to celebrate his birthday after the game on Saturday. Had a little time between that game and heading down West End to watch Vanderbilt play. And we were, talking about mm-hmm. the team. There were some fans coming out. And I had a fan. It was funny. He listens to the show. He knows me. Like, Willie, will you please be negative on Monday? Willie, please, just will you be negative on Monday? I was like, if that makes you feel better, would that make you feel better? But honestly, look, when you're 0-5, you got to wear it, right? I can't mm-hmm. worry about the other teams and the standings. I can't worry about whether people are panicking or not panicking. But it is Bill Parcells 100%. You are 0-5. And all you can do, and I think Hal Gill made a good suggestion at the end of the broadcast the other day, is hopefully on Sunday you get away from it, right? Just mm-hmm. you had Saturday night, you had Sunday, just get away, clear your head, and then come in today ready to work. There is a long way to go, but they have too many serial winners who have had way too much success in the league to be where they are right now. It doesn't make sense. It's puzzling. They have the most shots on goal per game in the league. The most.
So they're getting opportunities.
They're getting plenty of opportunities, and they have the lowest shooting percentage in the league. This is at least as of the game ending on Saturday. I don't know if it's changed since then. That's one stat. The other stat is, you just mentioned the Wild, have been playing from the lead. That is a huge confidence boost and allows you to play your system. The Predators, on the other hand, have led for, out of five games, they haven't gone to overtime, so that's 5 times 60. That's 300 minutes?
300 minutes.
They have led for 10 and a half minutes.
10 minutes and 31 seconds.
And they have trailed for over 130 minutes. So they have trailed almost half of the time. So that leads you into bad habits. You're chasing your maybe trying too hard, you're fighting to make up for something that happened earlier in the game, you've dug yourself a hole within the game, that's not helping. And then in listening to Hal Gill and Mace break down some of the connectivity, mm-hmm. I think a big issue is when they get possession of the puck in their own end, transitioning from defense to offense, which was a strength last year. They could really get it going with speed. They have not had that connectivity through the neutral zone. Their neutral zone play is a big problem right now, and a really big problem. Once they get it down in the offensive end, as I just said, they're getting plenty of shots. They're getting chances. And they've had, I think, a little bit. They're due to start scoring goals. So like I said last week when they were 0-4, you hope that these problems get addressed. You get it figured out early. And then you become a stronger group because of it. But in the meantime, as you see, they can't sit back and do nothing. They put Mark Delgado in. They scratch Dante Fabbro. Today they call up Zach LaRue. I don't know who's going to get scratched, but the fourth line, the variations of the fourth line have been underwater. That's another thing that is happening. If there's one group that the bad things are happening, and it's not any one guy's fault in my mind, but when their fourth line is on, last year that fourth line held their own. You go into every game thinking, if our fourth line is even or plus, I'll take that every time. What you don't want is it to be a big minus, and right now it is a big minus, a big, big minus.
The Predators have been outscored. I'm using Michael McCarron because he has been a...
He's the center of the fourth line.
He's the center of the fourth line. The Predators have been outscored 9-1 at 5-on-5 with Michael McCarron on the ice. And to answer your previous question,
that's a big hole.
That's a huge hole.
And that does not mean that he's the guy screwing up on all those, but it's on his line's watch.
Yes.
And that's tough to overcome.
A line that doesn't get a lot of minutes in comparison to the O'Reilly line,
but a line
example.
That was a huge positive with Michael McCarron last year, especially when they started playing well down the stretch.
To answer your question,
change from last year,
from earlier, based on practice, it appears that Zachary LaRue will play with Michael McCarron and Cole Smith tomorrow against the Boston Bruins. It appears that Juuso Parsonen and Philip Tomasino will be out of the lineup based off of practice today.
Those two guys have not played well,
and I
know there's a lot of fans that think that Andrew Brunette is impatient with those guys, and I am wondering where it goes for those two guys because they would have to be waived. They're at the maximum of their roster right now. They would have to be waived to be sent to Milwaukee. So there could be another team that in a Eli Tolvanen kind of thing would have an opportunity if they decided to waive them. Now, they could just keep them up and put them back in another night. But I do wonder where it goes because those guys are at a crossroads. As we've said before, this is not me saying it for the first time. We addressed this in the preseason that Parsonen and Tomasino are at an age where you can't just yo-yo them back and forth to Milwaukee without the opportunity for another team to go grab them.
Well, this is sort of like the worst sort of scenario that coaches. You kind of hold your breath like, please don't let this happen, that you bring in what everyone believes is firepower. You bring in serial winners. And when you bring in firepower and serial winners, it's not working.
Right.
That's like – because now everybody's looking and saying, well, because of what you did, you made us believe that this year's team was the team that you were going for it with. Well, and then all of a sudden, now it's not working. And I know it's early, but now it's not working. Now everybody's looking and saying, well, what is your answer?
Right.
Because we thought this was your answer, but it's not working. So what is the answer now?
And they're not playing like a team that has as many serial winners and experienced veterans as they do. It's really baffling to watch. For example, if you look at all three games last week, Tuesday against the Kraken, Thursday against Edmonton, Saturday against Detroit. They fight back. We're talking about they're constantly behind. They fight back to tie all three games. They get the crowd into it. The crowd's been there. Everybody's excited. And then they have the big lapse in all three games. And most recently, Saturday, they score the goal. Steven Stamkos breaks through, power play goal. Okay, they're rocking, they're rolling. Go get the game. And immediately, right after that, they have a mental lapse. They turn the puck over, and boom, they give the goal right back. That's the kind of thing that's really hurting them, the timely lapse in the course of a 60-minute game. So, to me, I think those are the issues that they have to fix. But in the meantime, Adam, you gotta process it however you need to process it.
I'm just telling Predators fans that it has been 28 years since a team that had zero standings points through five games has made the Stanley Cup last.
The year I was born.
So, there you go. It was the year that David James was born. It has been nearly 30 years since a team has made the playoffs when starting a season with zero standings points through five games. So all I'm telling you is that you have my permission. Who knows how much weight that holds. But you have my permission to panic. And the Predators will be back on the ice tomorrow at the unique start time of 7:45 as part of the game is going to be on FanDuel Sports Network South. But as part of ESPN's Frozen Frenzy, every team in the league is playing tomorrow, so they're staggering the start time. So the Predators game at home tomorrow against Boston starts at 7:45. 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us next. We'll continue breaking down the Titans' loss to the Bills and more. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.